Takuto Opus Destiny.
Hello, you're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is our fall 2021 anime season preview. It's right around the corner. It's time for us to dive into the shows that are coming up this next season. Are you excited, Chris?
Definitely.
A lot of new shows. A lot of returning shows. It's the fall season, so it's all these big name titles that are coming back and plenty of stuff for people to watch, which is great because that means that we have to somehow figure out how to time it in there and figure out how we have the time to actually watch all this stuff, which is great because this whole podcast is about trying to make sure that you guys have so much stuff on your watch list that you suffer like we do, right?
Nobody can suffer like we do.
Nobody has to suffer the amount that we do because we have to watch everything. But yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. And like I said, I'm really excited to start diving a lot of these stuff. A lot of new and original stuff. A lot of kind of co-productions between a lot of studios. So it's kind of an interesting studio overall to kind of dive into. It was a lot of fun because I actually did my outline live with a bunch of people on YouTube. And it was a lot of fun because, one, I got some insights from people kind of explaining like, yo, yay. Day-Day Live is not coming. It's like, okay, thanks for letting me know that. That's kind of important. I didn't want to have to dive into a show that doesn't even exist. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff. So without further ado, we probably should jump into it. As usual, we'll start with the shows that are kind of new. They don't have any kind of thing to come up before it. That's not a sequel. And then we'll dive into the shows that are kind of returning shows that are having additional seasons. Then we'll get into the shorts. And then we'll go a little bit into ONAs and movies and that kind of stuff. So we'll talk about the title, the possible English title, the studio that's working on it, what kind of source material it is, and any interesting people that might be working on it that will make it a little more interesting for you to dive into. So good stuff, good stuff. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm already starting my list.
Yeah, I already wrote something down. We haven't even talked about it, and you're just already writing it down. That's not good, Chris. We have no faith in you no more. But yeah, eventually we'll get into like what do we think are like the secret, you know, hidden gems of the season that we think are going to be awesome or shows that we're excited for. So, yeah. Starting off, we have Komi-san wa Komi, and I always have my terrible pronunciation of the Japanese, which I've gotten better. But yeah, Komi-san wa Komi-ushuo desu, or Komi-san can, or Komi can't communicate. This one is timid. Tadano is a total wildflower, and that's just the way he likes it. But all that changes when he finds himself alone in a classroom on the first day of high school with the legendary Komi. He quickly realizes she isn't aloof. She's just super awkward. Now he's made it his mission to help her on her quest to make 100 friends. This sounds familiar.
It does.
It's Hattori Bocchi. It's the sequel of Hattori Bocchi. That's interesting. But yeah, this is going to be done by OLM Studio. I think they're doing like 3 shows this season, so that's kind of scary. But yeah, OLM is known for doing Pokemon, The Risen Berserk, and Gunsmith Cats. The source is a manga. The genres are comedy, romance, slice of life. The director will be Ayumu Watanabe, who did Space Brothers. And the series composition is being done by Hitomi Miyano, who of course has done way too many good things, so a solid series composition writer, at least. But, yeah. Good stuff. So, are you excited for Hattori Bocchi Season 2?
Well, yeah. I already put it down. This one is one that I know that there's a lot of hype behind this at least these characters, or the storyline. So, because it's been... This one is similar to Jahi, where people, you know, are constantly going on about this storyline. So I can't wait for it. I'm extremely excited about this one.
Yeah, I wasn't excited for it when I first heard that it was getting adapted just because I don't like the character designs whatsoever. I'm not a fan of especially Komi's design, like the whole like arrow hair thing going on. But when I seen the PV for it, it kind of restored my hope for it because I think that they do a good job of kind of, I don't know, not animating it, but bring it to life, I guess. So thankfully PVs exist because like I said, just based on like the character designs and the manga and stuff like that, I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this one. But like I said, they did a good job of kind of bringing it to life. So we'll
those
see.
Eyelashes though. Those are extremely massive eyelashes.
Yeah. I didn't even notice the eyelashes, but okay. I can see it now. You had to point it out. But yeah, Komi-san can't communicate. Definitely, if you're looking for a comedy, rom-com-ish type show, definitely be checking that one out. So, Platinum End. I know this is the one that's probably the most hyped of all the shows, maybe, of next season. But yeah, Platinum End is, as his classmates celebrate their middle school graduation, troubled... Oh, you want to watch the PV for it?
I would like to.
Are you sure?
Probably not.
All right. You're gonna say maybe.
If you say are you sure, that concerns me. So,
oh, okay. But yeah, as his classmates celebrate their middle school graduation, troubled Midai is mired in darkness, but his battle is just beginning. When he receives some salvation from above in the form of an angel, now Midai is pitted against 12 other chosen humans in a battle in which the winner becomes the next god of the world. Midai sounds familiar too. Future Diaries, anybody? And it's Midai Nikki. His name is Midai. There's a little bit of a culmination there. Midai has an angel in his corner, but he may need to become a devil to survive. Ooh. The studio is Signal MD. Of course, did Recovery of an MMO Junkie, Mars Red, Fate Grand Order, and Fate Grand Order Camelot, the movie. The source is a manga. The genres are drama, mystery, psychological, romance, supernatural. And, of course, the director's pretty solid if you like this show. But Kazuchika Kise, who did Gets Arise. And the creator, of course, and the reason why this has got so much hype behind it, is, of course, the creator of Death Note, which is Tsugumi Oba. Not only Tsugumi Oba, but the manga itself was the same mangaka, the same writer for both Platinum End and Death Note. So it's basically Death Note. It's basically a new Death Note. Not to say the story is going to be full on just Death Note, but yeah, it looks more like some sort of little, you know, kids fighting for their lives kind of thing. So we'll see. Are you interested?
Are you really going to ask me that question?
Yeah, that's what we're doing here. We're talking about
only moderately because of the Death Note thing. This looks like a battle royale that we'll see. We'll see. It'll depend on how rough it gets. But at the same time, I'm being more open to it lately. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think just by the Death Note name alone, and it looks like Death Note. It's got like the character designs and everything of Death Note. You could literally just call him Light, and we'd be like, okay, he'll get Death Note. Except for we don't have an ugly looking Ryuk guy. Was it his name Ryuk?
Yep.
We don't have him running around. We just have cute little angels flying around. So we're getting rid of the old rough guy. I didn't see the same band doing the theme song. What was that? Harmony. Oh my gosh, I can't think of the name of the band. Something of Harmony. They're not doing this song. So that's unfortunate. So yeah. I'm interested, very much so interested. I'm not a huge fan of the whole, like, I don't know, Power Rangers Sentai thing that they're doing with the fighting sequences, but we'll see. I'm not sure if everybody gets like a form like that, or if it's just a couple of them. No, it looks like they're all getting something. Or maybe one is, it's just their power. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, fans of Death Note, be excited for that one. Definitely something to keep an eye on for. So, going forward, moving on, we have Blue Period. This is the Netflix show of the season. The studious Yatoro leaves a dry life of study and good manners behind. Okay, so he's leaving it behind for a new passion, painting. But untethering yourself from all your past expectations is dangerous as well as thrilling. I think the other synopsis I've seen was kind of more going on the idea of like, he really hates his boring usual life that everybody's kind of excited for. You know, everybody's playing games and sports and stuff, and he goes along with it, but, you know, he doesn't really like it. So he ends up running into somebody doing art and then gets inspired for it. So there you go. Studio is Seven Arcs, who did Tonikaku, Over the Moon for You, Sekire, Dog Days, and Arte. The source is a manga. The genres are drama, slice of life. And this will be streaming on Netflix. The cool thing is, and it's kind of the thing where I'm like, you know, I hesitantly say this. I will just say it this way. If you have a Netflix account, try to watch this show just to show Netflix that we like weekly releases. I'm kind of afraid of this being one of those shows where I didn't see much hype behind it, so I'm concerned that nobody will watch it, and then Netflix is going to go, well, nobody watched it weekly, so obviously they don't want this. Even if you don't plan on watching the show, if you don't have bandwidth limits and you already have a Netflix account, I don't know, fire it on when you're doing dishes or something and just let it play. It's something like that. Like I said, I don't want people to get accounts for Netflix or to be forcing yourself to watch it to your detriment. Just if you can, see if you can support the show. That way it actually shows them this is what we want.
Yeah, that is frustrating because it, while I know that it's slice of life and dramas is usually works really well for me, I don't know that it's as popular as a lot of type shows that are that come out seasonally, and this is going to be one of those frustrating ones where it's like, please guys, just support this just based on the fact that we want them to see that we liked the weekly, we like the weekly stuff, not necessarily because we want to watch the show.
It's going to be like one of those ones where we'll drive everybody to watch the show and it's going to get like 15 seasons because, man, we're getting a lot of traction from this one show. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, just looking at the PV, I am not really hyped at all for this show. Like, I don't like what I'm being presented by the characters themselves. They look like they're all just a bunch of snotty characters, but I could totally be surprised in the end. I just have a feeling it's going to be one of those things where he gets an art and then everybody around him's like, oh, you don't have any passion for this. This is a lot more hard work than you think it is. Because that's what the synopsis gave me an impression of too, was like, they're all going, this isn't your sports game. Art's important and you need to have it, you know, take respect for it. But yeah. And of course his family's not liking it. They want him to have like a actual career. Not to say art isn't a career, but that's their mindset, is that they want him to have an actual career and not do art. So, plus a painting winks at him. That's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Like I said, I think the reason why this has got a lot of chatter right now is just because, hey, this is going to be a weekly release and kind of want it to be supported. So
maybe that's what they're talking about with Dangerous and Thrilling. Maybe it's going, the person that he painted jumps out of the paint and tries to kill him and you know, ring vibes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Sadako comes out. Was it her name, Sadako?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Sadako. Sawako is the name of the character who looks like her.
Mm-hmm.
I think. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Blue Period. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. Moving on to one that's been kind of talked about for quite a while. I think they released the PVs for this one pretty early. But yeah, Miroko-chan, all of a sudden, a girl is able to see grotesque monsters all around her, but no one else can. Rather than trying to run away or face them, she instead musters all of her courage and ignores them. Join her day-to-day life as she keeps up with her best poker face despite these supernatural goings-ons. That's one of those ones where I've seen a lot of information on this, but never read the synopsis, but that's actually sounds pretty funny.
That actually kind of does.
I actually realized when I watched the PV the other day, it does say, you know, did you see this? Did you see this in Japanese? Obviously, over and over again. So that makes sense that she's trying not to see them. So kind of funny. This is going to be done by Studio Passione, who of course has done recently the Higurashi Go series, Roka Brave and Six Flowers, High School DxD Hero, Citrus, and Hanako Note. Let's see. That's one of the characters is actually voiced by Yui Yugihama, so, and she's like a loli girl, so that's kind of cool too. Anyways, sources of manga, genres are comedy, horror, slice of life, supernatural. The director is Yuki Ogawa, who did Fully Cooley, Progressive, Interspecies Reviewers, Miru Tights, a series composition by Kenta Ihara, who did Cautious Hero, Tsukimichi Moonlit Fantasy, Saga Tanya the Evil, Death Parade, screenplay co-op with Death Parade. So, yeah. Interesting stuff. it was funny because I know when they first released the PV for this, it had like a horror feel to it. So I'm like, okay, cool. Horror anime centered around high schoolers and just kind of supernatural stuff. And then it like gets like super goofy. So I'm like, okay, never mind. This is going to be a goofy show. And then, like I said, reading the synopsis makes perfect sense. So poor girl, though.
she's trying to live a normal life and is just like terrorizing
under her sheets and stuff. She's like, oh, I got to go to bed. Leave me alone. I'm just brushing my teeth. Leave me alone. Yeah, that could be an interesting one. I'm really curious if it's going to be one of those things where, yes, it is a goofy comedy type show, if it'll be one of those things where it tries to insert, I guess, like some feeling of horror into it. Like, yes, she is. It is funny, the idea that she's ignoring it, but then you have these realizations that, one, spirits are based off of actual people that have lost their lives, or have some sort of unfinished thing that she needs to finish for them. I'll be curious if it has some sort of other element besides comedy kind of mixed in with it.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. That thought had crossed my mind. The idea of her trying to, at some point, start trying to fix the problems of these spirits. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like I got a little bit etchy in there, too. So, there you go. All right, moving on, we have Tect Opus Destiny. This one, the musical composition, formed a dwelling power in the girl, a legendary opera, a magnificent composition created by in the past, a new life music art imbued with the score. That made zero sense. None of that made any sense. An ephemeral, beautiful, and fateful tale of girls fighting with the power of... There's a guy on the screen.
He gave up his arm.
Girl. It could be a girl.
I think the girl is his arm.
It does seem like that. But yeah, power of musical scores in the world where music has been forgotten. Sorry. They just aim for the delight that lies beyond. Tact Opus. Connect music to tomorrow. That is one of the worst synopses. Like, well, no, technically there's synopses where it's English, so it's a little bit oddly translated. There's synopses that are too long. There's synopses that tell you too much. And this is one of those ones where it tells you something, but none of it makes any sense. So, the best types of synopses. Just for us to laugh at and make fun of. Anyways, game done by Studio MAPPA and Madhouse, so that's kind of insane. MAPPA obviously did Jujutsu Kaisen, Kakagurui, the recent Attack on Titan season, Yuri on Ice, Zombieland Saga, Banana Fish, and Punchline. And Madhouse, of course, did Death Note, One Punch Man, Death Parade, No Game, No Life, Overlord. So, two really high pedigree studios coming together, which is kind of interesting. So, the source isn't original. The genres are action, fantasy, and music. And the creator of this one is Oji Hiroi, who, of course, did the Sakura Wars series. So, pretty interesting there. But yeah, it looks incredible by the PV. The music sounds incredible. So, this is kind of one of those ones where I'm like, I hope this has substance. That's my only, like, after seeing everything, the only thing that I question is substance. It obviously looks gorgeous. It obviously sounds gorgeous. It has somebody behind that has known for doing something very in-depth. You know, you can question that if you want to based on Sakura Wars, but it's got something. It's got a great studios, but substance, I think, is the only thing that I'm really left with, especially based on the fact that I just read the synopsis that makes zero sense.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those. It's like, just watching this, the PV, I'm not making out what's going out. Like I said, about the mount that I've gotten out of it is his arm turned into a girl and the girl's fighting weird note things, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like she's like a musical instrument and he's composing her.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what's going on here, to finally get a little bit of closure on what's going on. But as it is, it does look good. That no matter how you look at it, you can give it that much.
I'm getting like serious vibes of what was that one?
To me, I'm getting fake vibes.
Yeah,
it has a little bit
of Nero in there with a master.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting ready to say. It might just be because of the girl. She kind of looks like a saber face. So
I was thinking not Queen's Blade. It was that one that like was pretty popular for a while there. I think it was the one where he pulls a sword from her chest. Has some really great art design to it, but it's reminding me of that one. I can't think of the name of it. I'll remember it when I'm editing. I always do, but.
Yeah, and then he texts me and says it was this.
It was.
Oh, okay.
Like, I always text him because it's funny because the moment I speak of it when I'm listening to the edit, when I'm going through the edit, and the moment it's brought up, bam, it pops in my head. It's like it never fails. It's like, why couldn't I think of that when I was talking?
That's okay. You were stumbling on one the other day on a live stream, and I'm sitting here, I'm getting ready to text you, and then suddenly you remembered, and I was like, okay, I guess I can put that down now.
Darn, I can't help him with it. But yeah, there you go. Tact Opus Destiny. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. We have our next one is our first. It took us a while, but we finally got to our first harem show. Are you guys excited? Yeah, our first isekai into a harem show. The world's finest assassin gets reincarnated in another world as an aristocrat or sekai saiko no ansatsusha isekai kizoku ni tensai suru. I always wonder if people, whenever they listen to this podcast, if they like go look up the actual Japanese name just so they can go, yeah, he said that wrong. anyways, the great assassin on Earth, or I'm sorry, the greatest assassin on Earth, knew only how to survive as a tool for his employers until they stopped letting him live. Okay.
Basically, they assassinated the assassin.
It's just like a very kind of anticlimactic synopsis. It's like a tool for his employers until they stopped letting him live. Reborn by the grace of the goddess who into a world of swords and sorcery, he's offered a chance to do things differently this time around, but there's a catch. He has to eliminate a super powerful hero who will bring about the end of the world unless he's stopped. Now known as Lug, Tuatha De, the master assassin certainly has his hands full. Guilty crap? Is it Guilty Crown? Yeah, I'm literally reading the synopsis and thinking of what that show is that I'm trying to figure out. I'm sorry. I think it's Guilty Crown. Yes, it's Guilty Crown. Yeah, that's what the Tact Opus reminds me of, is Guilty Crown. Sorry, anyways. Back to this one. Mm-hmm. The Master Assassin certainly has his hands full. Practically, and it's funny because it's sad because I haven't watched Guilty Crown yet, but there is a really strong following behind it, but... Particularly because all of his beautiful girls who constantly surround him. There you go. Already got his harem. Lu may have been an incomparable killer, but how will he fare against foes with powerful magic? Probably shoot them and kill them instantly because he's overpowered.
Well, it looks like he's using guns, so.
Because he's an assassin.
Anyways, no, that's a sniper.
There's a lot of sniper assassins. It kind of falls in line with each other. Studio Silverlink and Studio Palette is going to be working on it. Silverlink, of course, did Kokoro Connect, Masamune Kun's Revenge, Watamode, Baka and Test, Misfit at Demon King Academy. I have nothing on Studio Palette, and I meant to go look them up, but unfortunately did not. Source is light novel. The genres are action, adventure, drama, fantasy, mystery, romance, probably harem. Director is Tamura Masafumi, who did Misfit of Demon King Academy, so that's a pretty solid director to work on something that's pretty similar. Series composition by Katsuhiko Takayama, who did Anoa Zero, Big Order, F, Atella Memories and Melodies, Sagrada Reset, and the creator of the original source material did Redo of Healer. So that'll be interesting. And Crunchyroll will be streaming this. They've already jumped on it, so there you go. Excited?
I don't know. We'll see. That one's... I do like the character art. Concept is interesting.
I like the whole concept of like rugged, I don't know, 50 plus year old dude that gets reincarnated back into a boy's body and then gets harem. It's like wish fulfillment. There you go. Tons of cute girls that all want to kill people. I'm curious what it's going to be if it's like, because I know in the PV it's like talking about how there's like an aristocrat that he has to take out, and I'm curious if his assassination targets will be tied to his harem, or if the, I guess the jobs that he has to do will kind of get him in line with the harem. So, because I mean, technically, the assassin, I guess, profession typically doesn't really have you meeting people. You kind of try to keep to yourself, but that's just my perception of what an assassin would be doing. They don't necessarily go around and say, hey, how's it going, cute girl? Let's go kill somebody. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Does it imply in the opening that he literally used a sniper rifle to take out somebody? Or is he he's shooting a missile out of the air. Is that what he's doing? That's totally not OP. Or maybe he was in a plane and they got shot down. That's probably what it is. That's how they got rid of him. They can't kill him, so they decided to shoot him when he's in a plane. Clever thinking. Anyways, that is the world's finest assassin gets reincarnated into the world as an aristocrat. Maybe it's like the people that he learned or knew when he was growing up is probably what his harem is. So exciting. Next one we have is World End Harem or Shumatsu no Harem. This one is the time is near future Tokyo, Japan in 2040. Reito, a young man suffering from an intractable disease, vows to reunite with his childhood friend Erisa and decides to cold sleep to cure her illness. When he wakes up 5 years later, the world has undergone a major transformation. The MK, or male killer, virus kills 99.9% of men on the planet. The ground was a super harem with 5 billion women for every 5 men. The ground was a super harem?
Why not say 1 billion women for 1 man? Why do we have to say 5 billion for 5 men?
Well, there is 5 dudes in the show, so.
Okay, so 5 dudes and there's 5 billion women just in general. Not
right.
There's not a ratio of 5 billion for 5.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So that implies that there's like literally 25 billion women. That's a lot of women. But even still, there should be, well, I guess technically within the confines of this story, there's only 5 men. I'm sure that it's implying there's like men across the world, but they're like, you know, away from civilizations or something. I don't know. But yeah, this is basically the show that nobody but Hive Dive should probably be touching. Let's just get that out there. Because it literally based on the PV that I found, but I don't have it now for some reason. It's just basically a bunch of like horny stuff all over the place.
Scenes.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, it's, looks like Crunchyroll. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Crunchyroll will be streaming it. That's yay. Get ready for the hyper censored version. That just kind of disappoints me. I'm sorry. Again, studio is Axis and Studio Gokumi. Axis did Seiden, or they both did Seiden, My Neighbor is a Vampire, and Ulysses John of Arc. The sources of manga, the genres are ecchi and sci-fi. The director is Yu Nobuta, who did who's also doing the Saihatte no Paladin, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Did High School Fleet and Kuma 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 Bear, as well as Maisetsu. Series composition by Tatsuya Takahashi, who did, or is also, again, doing the Paladin show this season. Also, Idolmaster Cinderella Girls, Domestic Girlfriend, Beatless, and Edomanga Sensei. So,
I got nothing out of that PV, so that one's on.
Nothing?
No. Just one a picture, just a whole bunch of words, and then one girl.
That's a bad sign that the PV that they chose is, like, completely clean. Let's look at the actual one from Japan that's probably not going to be censored. Well, when did they release that trailer? A month ago? It's about the same time. Yeah. That's a bad sign.
So they're already censoring it.
And the PV's already censored. So that's pretty bad. Like, they just cut out all the scenes that are kind of obviously questionable. So I have zero hope for this in the Western release. I'm sure this is going to be one that just a bunch of people will just pirate. So, not that I need, I'm that thirsty people, just that I don't like stuff being changed. It's just a very, anyways, the concept is, yeah, there's like 5 dudes in this facility and it looks like all these girls are trying to obviously repopulate the world, and main character does main character thing where he goes, oh, don't touch me. I need this girl. So there you go. No, even in there, it's implying that it's, well, no, right there, it's implying that it's 5,000 or 5 million women for one or five guys. So that's, yeah.
Million
the
women, way it was,
there's 5 guys. And the way that it synopsis is reading is that for every 5 men. That's just, I don't know. Anyways, there you go. Hyper-censored. World's End Harem. Be excited for the Crunchyroll release of that. I don't know. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. They could prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I dare you. Not with the buyout, though. I don't expect it with the buyout. I haven't even started to talk about this show yet. Why are you writing it down already? Banished from the hero's party, I decided to live a quiet life in the countryside. Or shin no nakama ja nai to yusha no party wo oidasareta no de hinkyo de slow life suru koto ni shimashita.
Jeez.
It's been a while since we had really long titles. Like
I was
this.
Getting ready to say we got an answer to the question. Can we on some show a while back? We said, can you make the title any longer? Apparently, they can.
I think the longest one we ever had was probably World End. There's another one I'm thinking of. I think there was an Isekai one that was crazy long too. Anyways, a heroic and mighty adventurer dreams of opening a pharmacy. Red was once a member of the Heroes Party, a powerful group destined to save the world from the evil forces of Tarakson, the raging demon lord. That is, until one day the comrades kicked him out. Hoping to live an easy life on the frontier, Red's new goal is to open an apothecary. However, keeping his secret of his former life may not be as simple as he thinks, especially when the beautiful Rit, an adventurer from his past, shows up and asks him to move in with him. I think it implies from the PV that she's supposedly a princess, which how that's possible for a princess to go, "Hey, later royal life, I'm going to live as a pharmacist with a boyfriend." I don't know. I think he said something like Hime or something like that, but I guess he could technically just be very formal with her, or maybe she's a noble family member or something. I don't know. Hime just typically implies princess, but we'll go with it. Studios working on this is Wolvesbane and Studio Flad. Wolvesbane did Peter Grill. Flad did Dame X Prince Anime Caravan, whatever the heck that is. The source is a light novel. The genres are action, adventure, fantasy, romance, slice of life. The streaming service that will be having this is Funimation. And the series composition will be done by Megumi Shimizu, who did King's Raid and My Life as a Villainous, All Routes Lead to Doom. So, excited. Obviously, oh, since you already wrote it down.
The concept, I like the idea. The pharmacy thing, I really want to, I really like the more slower pace, build things type shows. So yeah, it's got a lot of, things that are definitely working for me on this one.
Based on the PV, do you get the idea that this will be one of those shows, very rare to happen, where they get into a relationship really quickly? They seem pretty comfortable with each other.
Yeah, definitely seem familiar with each other, for sure.
Or you think it's just going to be like a... he thinks they're friends and she's like super thirsty for him and he doesn't realize it. Because, I mean, she's holding his hand and his arm and everything quite a lot. I mean, I'm just curious if this will be something that's a very rare case of them actually being like, hey, having a relationship's okay in an anime. Obviously, based on the key art, it looks like he's leaving somebody behind, I think, so.
It seems like it's been... I don't want to say this as a complete formality, because it does... It seems like they're being a little bit more okay with your anime characters being in relationships. It mm-hmm. seems like that. It seems like I've noticed this a bit more often, of characters are just like definitely holding hands with each other. And whereas we used to make the joke of this is the lewdest anime ever, and then show a picture
mosaic
of
the hands holding.
Now it's becoming a lot more open to that these characters are doing that more.
Yeah, I hope so. Cause I think, like I said, based on the PV, it looks like she's very much interested in him, and it looks like they kind of are very friendly with each other. And I'm kind of cool with that. I mean, I kind of like the idea of the girl getting the guy that she wants. Don't like the idea of them being, you know, the unrequited love all the time and being sad. So we'll see. But it's an odd that we're getting such a surge of pharmacy isekais. This isn't technically an isekai, but just that I guess medieval times fantasy pharmacist kind of thing. It's very odd. That seems to be very, yeah, prickly princess. It says it literally in the subtitles. No, what? Why the surge of apothecary things? Is that like just like a subgenre of isekais and fantasy that people are just really eating up right now in Japan? I guess seems.
I don't know. I think the builder thing seems to be popular, and I'm thinking that that's really kind of, I mean, it's a nice surprise for me, being that that's a kind of quote unquote, game genre that I really like. And there is a popularity there. So I can see that being a direction that a lot of these stories are taking, is trying to incorporate that into their storytelling.
I've kind of liked the idea of the shop in a isekai or fantasy, but I have to admit that it's never really done in a way that I'm interested in. Like, even A Sin of a Bookworm had a slight twinge of that build the shop kind of thing, even though she wasn't like actively involved with it. But like things like the Grace of Gods, like with the laundry washing service and stuff like that. That also seems like another thing that seems to be, you know, happening a lot in anime, but it's just, I want it to work, but it rarely does. And that's kind of the unfortunate thing.
Well, personally,
how do you make a shop fun?
Yeah, I agree. This is where I both agree and disagree at the same time. I like it. I think it's doing fantastic, but I understand how it's not a flavor for everybody. The balancing act that they have to do for these is insane. And it's you have to keep the intrigue and at the same time keep the elements that work for the builders kind of working. And like I said, I agree that it is a balancing act that is going to be very difficult for a lot of these stories to pull off. Maybe it's just something that works better in the light novel. I don't know.
That's true too. It could be something that just doesn't translate very well. All right, let's finally get into the Faraway Paladin, or Saihate no Paladin. This one is in the ruined city of the dead, far from human civilization, lives a single human child named Will. He is raised by three undead: Blood, the Horoke skeleton warrior; Mary, the ladylike mummy priestess; and Gus, the crotchety. I have never seen that word before in my life. Crotchety, ghost wizard. The three of them teach the boy what it is, what they know, and pour their love into him. I was really curious about what the heck that was all about, based on the PB.
Oh, that's crotchety.
I watched the PB before, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Why is he hanging out with this cool skeleton dude and stuff? One day, the boy begins to wonder, "Who am I?" Will uncovers. See, now the word Will and his name being Will is really throwing me off. Will uncovers the mystery of the undead hidden in the faraway land. He learns of the love and mercy of the good gods, and as well as the paranoia and madness of evil gods. And once he learns it all, the boy embarks on the path to becoming a paladin, and then discovers that he's an isekai. Right? I didn't see isekai in there, and this is like screaming isekai. I guess it's like we're so like conditioned to think that everything has to be isekai now. Studio is Children's Playground Entertainment, who basically just done Hat and Illusion. The source of light novel. The genres are action, adventure, fantasy, mystery, psychological. The director is Yu Nobuta, who's also doing the show I talked about earlier. I totally just copy and pasted this, sorry. High School Fleet, Kuma Bear, and Maisetsu, and again, series composition by Tatsuya Takahashi, who did Idolmaster, Cinderella Girls, Domestic Girlfriend, such and such. So,
well, we're getting our fantasies.
Yep. We got fantasies this season, and what was the other one I was talking about? Oh, yeah, vampires. This is definitely the season of fantasy and vampires. But I say fantasy and specifically saying fantasies that are not isekai. Like I said, it could totally come out that, oh, by the way, he's actually an isekai. He just doesn't know it. And then, you know, impart knowledge from previous world. But I've always said it that I kind of appreciate whenever stories are willing to... Yeah, technically isekais are super popular. And that's why I think a lot of writers are kind of leaning on doing isekais. But it kind of makes you thirst for that. Why can't we just do, this is a fantasy world, and they're born in this world? Not, this is a fantasy world, and by the way, he knows what a car is. I don't really care that he knows what a car is, because they'll forget about the fact they're isekai within, like, 2 minutes of the show. just do a fantasy.
Well, I think that I think we've mentioned this before. It gives the viewer an excuse to get information dumps.
Yeah, we've mentioned the two elements of the why it's so popular is one, the relatability. We're all in this world, and we all can relate with them. If we were a set guy, that we would all have probably similar feelings. But yeah, it also kind of makes it easier. But I mean, with this situation, it was similar with By the Grace of the Gods. Like, being isolated from the world allows you to get that information dump. Since he's been raised with a bunch of skeletons and ghosts and stuff, he can eventually go out into the world and get that information dump because he doesn't know what the world is. So it just requires a little, isolation. Or you can do like with Jobless Reincarnation, where you grow up in that world and you just obviously will be told eventually. So there you go. The Faraway Paladin. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. The PB looks pretty solid, honestly. So, yep, it's coming, Chris. Are you excited?
Yep.
Are you? Wow, it took him like 5 more seconds than I had anticipated for him to read. Just gonna warn you, you're probably gonna not want to watch the PB too much. I think it pretty much spoils the entire season. My senpai is annoying, or senpai ga uzai kohai no hanashi. This one is Igarashi is a hardworking young office lady. Takeda, the senpai above her at work, literally and figuratively, annoys her constantly, and yet she finds herself growing closer to him. Every day is filled with comic mishaps and romantic moments as Igarashi tries to balance work, life, and love. Sue is Doga Kobo, who, of course, has done Monthly Girls and Zaki-kun, Plastic Memories, New Game, Sing Yesterday for Me, Tadakun Never Falls in Love. Source is a manga, and the genres are comedy, romance, slice of life. So, tell us, Chris, why are you excited for this
one? It's just freaking adorable, and I can't wait. It kind of gives me the vibes of my love romantic comedy. What is it called?
Love Romantic Comedy Snafu?
No, the other one. The one where it was the big guy and the little, the small one who he couldn't accept the fact that she was actually in love with him.
Yeah, the Monogatari one. Love Monogatari? Love Story?
Yeah, something like
My
that.
My Love Story.
It is adorable. And she's just too cute. And I love the idea of the idea that she's going to be, you know, constantly in denial of this, the fact that she's in love with him and all that. I can't wait to watch this. It's freaking amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of going for the contrasting thing. Big dude, little girl, or little lady, I guess. I see a little girl. I think a lot of that enjoyment's really going to come around the idea of the teasing aspect. Like, she's embarrassed of the concept of liking something that she originally probably seen as being annoying. So, and he seems like he's very good natured, and I think that's probably what's going to help a lot is, again, going back to My Love Story, I didn't necessarily care much for that one because it was so much denial there that it got annoying, whereas this one looks like it's more accepting of it, and the guy seems, like I said, like a genuinely cool dude, so, and I'm sure that's what's going to probably throw her off a lot. Plus Doga Kobo, which definitely meant... Doga Kobo has kind of failed me recently. There was like a couple shows for a couple seasons where I was like, I'm just not either into this for the story or again with the situation that happened with The Girlfriend Won't Lose. I'm like, are you guys just having like an off season where you just suddenly can't pull this animation off? Because they've always been fantastic of not just having cutesy girls, not just having simple character designs, but making them come to life with things like, you know, hair movement and, you know, body language. And that's something that I'm hoping will kind of come back this season. I think they have two shows this season. So again, I hope that that's not too much for them. It seems, like I said, that this has already been fully animated because it looks like the PV literally has sections for the entire show. But we'll see. We'll see. I think there was like a PV for it that was like literally just... Well, this is literally 2.5 minutes of nothing but clips. Like, no cuts to text. Well, never mind. I just showed a cut to a text for, like, 0.2 seconds. But anyways, I'm super excited for it. It looks really cute. And, yeah, looking for Doga Kobo to come back for me. again, that is My Senpai is Annoying. Definitely look forward to that one. Fantastic. Finally, we get to our first vampire show. Our first vampire show is here. We have Visual Prison.
Visual Prison.
Pretty much our pretty boy show this season, I think. Visual Prison. In the anime, vampires perform Visual K music and gather together in Harajuku in an event known as Visual Prison. Under a red moon once a year, performing Visual K songs to entrance an audience. This sounds familiar again, too. What is with all these synopses that sounds very familiar? What was that stupid show with the hypnotic mic?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
The story begins when Anj Yuki, a lonely boy with no family, travels to Harajuku to see his favorite artist, and there sees an intense musical battle between the bands Eclipse and Lost Eden. Their energetic performance striking a pain through his heart. Studio is A1 Pictures, who did Sword Art Online, Your Lie in April, Erased, Anohana, Darling in the Franxx.
No. You're doing this wrong. By the studio that brought you Sword Art Online, Your Lie in April, Erased, Anohana, and Darling in the Franxx.
Yes, the awkwardly positioned mecha show. That one. Source is, there is none. This is completely original. The genres that brought you music and supernatural effects. From the creator, Nariyasu Agematsu, who's been known for doing Bang Dream. The Bang Dream music. Not the entire show. Don't get me wrong. No, not that person. No, the one that did the music. Yes, Nariyasu, that person. Also created Symphogear. A lot of them. And yes, also did Uta no Prince-sama. The one that everybody loved. The highest rating grossing show ever. Anyways, that's
Visual
Prison. Did
I not
give
you enough reasons to watch this show? You should go and watch it for sure.
Oh, but I'm not done yet. No, don't stop the trailer. We still got it for... Yeah. And it complete with heterochromia, so Andrew will like it. We did it just for him. The music was like super Gohan's, and I was like thinking it was going to be Gohan's, but it wasn't, so that's weird. But yeah, Visual Prison. Looking good. Looking real good. We'll see. This seems like another one of those big studio makes musical thingy to sell music CDs and all that other stuff that we don't get over here. So yeah, moving on. Based on the PV, I haven't read anything else on this one. Based on the PV, I'm kind of intrigued by this one. So, let's see. Taisho Otome Fairy Tale, or Taisho Maiden Fairy Tale. This one is in this story set in the early 1920s. Tamahiko is a son of a wealthy family, but his life is changed forever when an accident cripples his right arm. No longer considered by his father as an heir, he is shuffled off into the country to live out of sight. The teenage Tamahiko shuts himself in his new home, bitterly thinking of it as his place where he'll die. One day, he learns that his father has bought him a bride to take care of him. When the young teen girl named Yuzuki arrives at his door, she comes into his life like an innocent ray of sunshine, and Tamahiko's view of the world and his life starts changing bit by bit. This one's being done by Studio Synergy SP, who did Hayate the Combat Butler and Initial D. There will be no drifting in the show. Sources of manga. The genres are comedy, romance, drama, and slice of life. The script is being done by Hiroko Fukuda, who did Teasing Master Takagi-san Season 2 and will be doing Season 3. And this is be streaming on Funimation. Okay, that's not what I was expecting when I watched the PV. The PV kind of give me hints of this idea of like a love over centuries of rebirth. I think because I think at some point they say something about rebirth. But I guess it's going to be just one time period. But it looks cute. It definitely looks cute. I do like the aspect of this kind of somebody who gives up on everything, but then is given something by somebody else. Like this other person's able to bring life into them, which is definitely a really cool concept for romance, especially with this idea of what tempering the heart is the word we put it. So,
yeah. Duke of Death is kind of doing something similar. And it works really well. And I would love to see another story that kind of pulls that off. I don't know that it's going to get as quote unquote dark as Duke of Death. Hopefully it'll kind of just stay in the more lighter side. So it'll be
wait,
fun to
Duke
see
of it. Death gets dark. Am I missing something?
He touches things and they die.
That's not dark. It's not like he shows them actually kill anybody. I always got a kick out of that with Duke of Death. It's like they've established that if he touches people, they'll die. I'm like, so has he touched a person? I haven't seen him actually touch a person.
Yeah, that's true. It's only been animals as far as I can tell.
One bird. Because birds are okay to kill. But no, it looks really cute. I think it's going to be really cute. So I can't wait for that one. A Taisho Otome Fairy Tale. Looking forward to that. Moving on, our next vampire show of the season. We have Suki to Laika to Nosferatu. This one, Moon, Laika, and the Bloodsucking Princess. Set in a fictional world 10 years after a long war divided the world into two superpowers, the union of Zernitra Republics in the east and the United Kingdoms of Arnok in the west. Both of these superpowers now test their ambitions against each other in a space race. In 1960, the Union's Premier Gergiev announces the Machtat program. My gosh, I hate this synopsis already. A prestigious plan to launch a manned mission into the final frontier. To this end, the Republic establishes an isolated city of Laika 44, where cosmonaut candidates compete for planned manned missions to space, and scientists develop the technology that make it happen, all in an environment of secrecy. The story centers around Lev Leps, a backup astronaut candidate, and his new companion, the vampire Irina Ruminescu, as part of the daring new Operation Nosferatu. The Mextot program, this is killing me, will use Irina as a test subject for various conditions expected in space, and ultimately as part of an unmanned mission with Lev, overseeing Irina's training as a cosmonaut for reasons of their own, both dreaming of going into space. Jeez. Studio is Arvo Animation, who is known for doing Monster Girl Doctor, and We Never Learned Bokuben, so not much stuff. Source is a light novel. Genres are romance, sci-fi, supernatural. Thoughts?
I hate that translation.
What?
The translation of the name. It's just a goofy thing. No, it's
to be honest, the original is just basically saying this and this and this.
Yeah, it is. It's Moon and Laika and kind of like
translate
vampire
to
yeah, vampire nobles type thing. So, and it's definitely not Moon, Laika, and the blood sucking Laika is the blood sucking princess. Why are you naming it that way? But it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's unless Laika is the guy.
Laika is the city.
Laika is the city. Maybe.
And I'm guessing they could be calling that particular race of vampires Laikas too, because I've seen that. So
anyway, the concept seems interesting. She looks kind of cute. Looks like they're gonna get kind of mean to her. So we'll see.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about her character design is she's got like the whole like I don't know ants. Pincer thing for the front hair bangs, which is weird, I guess. No, I think when we first heard about this, it was kind of implying this idea that she was, because she's a vampire, she's more able to be in space, so they use her to like test stuff out with, which is kind of screwed up. Mm-hmm. It looked interesting from a lot of perspectives. So I am kind of curious to see what kind of story this will end up telling. So, because we heard about this one being adapted like way back, and I think
winter. it seems like we talked about it a long time ago, or I had read part of the manga, but it seems like I remember seeing
light
her.
Novel.
So light novel. Well,
yeah. So yeah, it's interesting. Definitely looking forward to it. Has a lot going for it. The only thing that has me kind of hesitant on this show, really, honestly, is just not really anybody known working on it. Like not very well known people working on the actual project. Director, series cops, all those particular people working on it. Nothing really special behind them. And again, added to the fact that we have Arvo Animation, which has not really done much. And like, I don't know if Bokoben kept to good. It's technically a rom-com, so there's not much animation required. But like with Monster Girl Doctor, didn't really do a good job with animation, honestly. But we'll see. Like we always say, that something every studio requires that one show to kind of stand out. The PV looks okay, so nothing bad in the PV. But again, they use the best clips in the PVs, so we'll see. God, treat her like crap.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And step on her too.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, that's Moon, Laika, and the Blood-Sucking Princess. Chris's favorite title. Cool stuff, though. Moving on, we have Sakugan. I don't want to maximize this. I don't need a close up. Yes, I thought the same thing when I seen the PV for this. It's like, that's not Sakugan. That's not Sakugan at all. That's CGI. There could be Sakugan CGI, I guess. Anyways, the distant future, I don't know if I'm going to read all this. The distant future long ago in the Western calendar is no longer used. The humans live shoulder to shoulder with cramped in the labyrinth and underground world deep below the surface. There are many colonies where people live in the underground labyrinth. The place is known as an extreme high temperatures, but also loads of gold, silver, and riches. In one of the colonies named Pin In, a curious 9-year-old girl named Miminpu. Mimimpu and her daughter and her father Gaganba.
I think that's Mimimpu.
Mimimpu.
Mimimpu. Oh, there is an N. I didn't see the N.
Well, I guess it would technically probably pronounce Mimimpu probably.
Yeah.
And then Gaganba, born a 2-person work robot. It's probably all you're going to hear the entire show is probably going to be Adosa and whatever, what is daughter? I think they just call him by the name.
Musume.
Musume, yeah. We'll just go with that.
Is it Musume? No, that's girlfriend.
Yeah, please don't call her Musume. I'm just going to call her Guru. they eke a living as the lowest of the lowest worker occupations. One day,
Poo-chan.
Men-men-poo begs her... Just call her Meme. He's probably just going to call her Meme. You know, one day, Meme begs her father, Gaga, to set as markers those who chart the labyrinth, blah, 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 made in abyss. Anyways, Satellite's the studio working on it. Log Horizon, White Album, Tonkatsu Ramen's Disappearance of Nagatoro or Yuki-chan is the stuff they've worked on. The source is a novel. The genres are adventures, mecha, sci-fi. The director working on this is Junichi Wada, who, of course, did World's End and Disappearance of Nagato Yuki-chan, and Caligula. The Disappearance of Nagatoro. That's an interesting style title. This will be streaming on Crunchyroll. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm mixed on this one, because, like, yes, ugly CGI, but at the same time, is a fun concept, hopefully. I don't know if I'm too big on the idea of it looking very centered around just fighting worker robots, which is the vibes I'm getting from it. It might not be a fighting thing. It might just be a competition thing, but
it's really weird for me because there's a lot of things going on in this PV. You got some fantastic looking backgrounds. The CGI, I'm not going to say it looks bad. It doesn't fit the background. It's really the problem. The CGI itself, the mechas, they look really freaking beast and pretty cool. The character artwork looks, some of them look hyper detailed. The other ones look cutesy and And so there's a mishmash of just a whole bunch of things that are not really working together to me. And I think that's my main problem with it. But the concept seems interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that's the problem that I have, is just that the art styles don't really match, especially between the CGI and the 2D, which is always kind of a difficulty that a lot of the stuff faces. So, but we'll see. Well, it could work out.
The gun thing just looks stupid.
Is a CGI gun.
It's a CGI gun in front of a guy.
They cannot draw guns. I don't know why they cannot draw a gun. And they know what a gun... I mean, they know what a gun looks like because it's based on that right there. But whatever. I always get a kick out of CGI guns that are just randomly being held by characters. So, again, that's Sakugan. Check that out. That sounds to you. Next we have is Osama Ranking, or King Ranking. This one is... The story centers around Bojiji, a deaf, powerless prince who cannot even wield a children's sword. As the firstborn son, he strives hard and dreams of becoming the world's greatest king. However, people mutter about him behind his back as a good-for-nothing prince, and no way he can be king. Boji is able to make his first-ever friend, Kage, or Shadow, yes, okay, a literal shadow on the ground who somehow understands Boji well. Kage is a survivor of Kage Assassin's clan that has all been wiped out. No longer a killer, Kage now makes ends meet by stealing. The story follows Boji, a coming of age, as he meets various people in his life, starting with his fateful encounter with Kage. Interesting. It's going more for like this aspect of like the random like a dragon warrior or something like that running into a slime and then befriending the slime. I don't know, it's got a very unique art style to it, so that's why I'm getting that vibe from it. So,
watch this become the gem of the season.
There seems to be a lot of hype behind it, and a lot of people on our live streams are talking about it. So,
oh really?
Yeah.
It's definitely very unique. I'm very curious. It looks like it's going to be kind of a coming of age story. So
it literally says that in the synopsis. So I guess you're right, Chris.
So yeah, I'm pretty interested in this.
Yeah, the studio behind it is going to be Wit Studio, which is another interesting aspect of it. So, very curious of them doing a very unique art style to it, which they've known to do a lot of different art styles, so it doesn't surprise me too much. Sources of manga, genres are adventure and fantasy. The series composition is being done by Taku Kishimoto, who did Balance Unlimited, Erased, 91 Days, Silver Spoon, Haikyuu, and Bunny Drop. So, interesting series composition writer, at least. So, yeah. I think the great thing about it is just a very unique story, I guess. Just the aspect of somebody who's very impaired, but yet not letting that keep back from what he wants to do. Like, he's going to prove himself. So, I think based on what, you know, difficulties he's facing, him overcoming a lot of that stuff will probably lead to some really fantastic moments. So, I guess we'll be rooting for him on a weekly basis that he makes it through it all, so... That's King Ranking or Sama Ranking. Check that out if that's interesting to you. Are you excited, Chris, for more CGI stuff? Because Blade Runner's coming back.
Can't
Blade
you Runner, see me, Black like, Lotus. Shaking right now?
You're just with the words. Blade Runner Black Lotus will be streaming on Crunchyroll. It is a Los Angeles 2032. A young woman wakes up with no memories and possessing deadly skills. The only clues to her mystery are a locked data device and a tattoo of a Black Lotus. Putting together the pieces, she must hunt down the people responsible for her brutal and bloody past to find out the truth of her lost identity. It's being done by Studio Sola Digital Art, who did Ultraman and the 2045 Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. Genres are sci-fi. Director is Kenji Kamiyama, as well as Shinji Aramaki. So I think my takeaway when we were looking into this particular show is they are really riding on a very well-known director, or a pair of directors, as to if that translates to a good show, question mark. But I don't know. I didn't watch the other Blade Runner thing they did, so I'd have to get caught up to really dive into this one, but... I don't know. To be honest, it looks good. Like, visually, it looks good. But that's if you're okay with the, like, you know, higher detailed CGI look, which I know is off-putting to a lot of people. I don't mind it. Like I watched Ultraman and I didn't mind it too much. So there you go. Be excited.
I don't know. I'm very curious of it. I almost would want to go back and watch the other Blade Runner. I do like the Blade Runner universe. But it is frustrating that I technically missed it and kind of not sure if I'm going to jump on this one. But yeah, it is a franchise that I definitely like.
Well, the other one they did was a movie, right?
I don't remember.
I think they did a movie.
Because I automatically thought of that when you were mentioning this one. So
yeah. All right. Next one we have is another vampire show. More vampires. The Season of Vampires. Kyuketsuki Sugu Shinu. The vampire dies in no time. A vampire hunter learns of a mansion inhabited by a vampire who's rumored to have been kidnapped children and goes there intending to take him down. But then it turns out that the vampire's a wimp who keeps turning into ashes at small things. And the kids aren't being held captive. They're just using the haunted house as their playground. Studio is Madhouse, who's done Death Note, One Punch Man, Death Parade, No Game, No Life, Overlord. Sources of manga. The genres are comedy, supernatural. The director on this one is Hiroshi Kojina, who did Hunter x Hunter. The series composition by Yukie Sugiwara, who did Overlord and Kino's Journey. Is it going for like a Vampire Hunter D look? Isn't it like the Vampire Hunter D cloak thingamajiggy? Totally looks like that's what they're playing off of. But yeah, I have to admit the PV is not good. like when I read the synopsis way back in the day when we did it on a discussional, I was like, that sounds hilarious. And so I was expecting that to be a theme in the actual PV. Like, you know, I don't know, somebody trips what I was actually expecting from the PV was like this buildup of like, oh, here's the vampire and he's going to beat the vampire. And then like this epic battle and you're thinking some big thing's going to happen. And literally like somebody chucks a rock at the vampire and he dies or something.
I think that's really kind of what they were going for.
Yeah, it didn't really imply it at all. Just them looking at each other.
The way it's building is that it's all kinds of super actiony, and then all of a sudden a hamster is standing on top of a pile of ashes. So I think they're kind of trying to play a joke. But yeah, selling it as an action flick, and then I guess I get the joke, but man, it's not working real well. So, it's weird.
Yeah, PV kind of unsold me on it, but I'm just going to kind of wait for the show and hope that it's actually funnier than the PV, because the PV didn't do very well. But yeah, that's The Vampire Dies in No Time. Moving on, another show that basically unsold me from the PV. I didn't really have any information on this show, but the PV was kind of bad, but we'll see. Shinka no Mi. Shira nai uchi ni kachi gumi jinsei. This one's the evolution fruit, conquering life unknowingly. This one, Hiragi Seichi, is an ugly, revolting, dirty, smelly, fat butt. These are the insults hurled at him one after another about his appearance, such was Seichi's life, daily life, school life, of bullying. Then, for some reason, one day when school was out, a voice claiming to be God said over the PA system to prepare to be transported to another world. What's more, not Suichi alone, but the entire school, a fantasy world where game-like elements such as leveling stats and skills exist. However, the gods still had preparations to complete for this transfer, and would send them over as soon as the hero's summoning ritual was ready. The classes all formed groups to wait for the transfer, but Suichi alone was discluded, and as such was summoned to a different area after being transported. Oh my god, this is a freaking synopsis. After being transported, he ate some fruit of evolution. This would greatly change his life. The story is about Seichi and being severely bullied by his classmates, even not being recognized as accomplishments. Despite all that, staying positive and surviving in the world, as a result, he somehow becomes one of the champions. Studio is Children's Playground Element, or entertainment as well as Feel. Children's Playground Element has only really done Cat and Illusion, and Feel has done Snafu, Sugigakirei, Hinamatsuri, Outbreak Company, Rayman Our Life. The source is a light novel, and the genres are adventure, comedy, fantasy, romance.
I'm kind of interested in it. It sounds like it could be fun. I mean, I'm not holding out a lot of hope for it, don't get me wrong, but it does seem kind of like it could be interesting. Kind of a... What was the one that they did a while ago where they were... where he went and started eating the monsters and became stronger and stronger? I think it could be something... Afureta could be something similar to that. So, yeah, I'm kind
of... I like how in the PV he's like... I think he says something like he really likes chocolate, and then he finds a cocoa bean. Do you realize that doesn't taste like chocolate if you just eat it raw? That's not how you eat that. He just chomps right... One, chomping right through the shell itself, but two, just like going right at it. Like I said, it implies that it's supposed to be cocoa, but it's not necessarily. I don't know. But like I said, I was not that I was excited for the show or anything like that when we first talked about it in our discussionals about it being adapted, but the PV just did not really do well to sell the show. And it, like I said, it kind of made me question if it's going to be good at all, just because the PV doesn't look like it's funny, nor it looks like it's going to be, you know, compelling anyway. But sometimes PVs do that. Sometimes PVs don't really portray what you end up enjoying about it. So I'm obviously going to, you know, watch the show and see if it actually pulls anything off. But as it sounds now, it looks very kind of low budget isekai, but I'm still holding hope that it does something really cool and interesting. Obviously the interesting thing that it's insinuating is this idea that, yeah, he's this chubby guy. He goes to this other world, eats this fruit, and then suddenly becomes a really handsome skinny guy. And it looks like that same effect is going to apply to this gorilla that he probably feeds the seed to, and she becomes a cute girl, because obviously evolution from gorilla to cute girl. And it seems like everything else is going to be the same thing. He's probably going to run into a cat, feed it to, and become a cat girl. So if that turns into something interesting or just a gimmick that never gets played off of again later on, we'll have to see. But yeah, interesting concept. So. The Evolution Fruit, Conquering Life Unknowingly. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. And next, you don't write it down too fast, Chris. Slow down. You don't have to write it down yet, Chris. Muv Love Alternative, a story of the bonds between those who fight in a world pushed to its limits. On one of these countless parallel worlds that exist throughout space-time, humanity has fought a decades-long war against the Beta. Hostile. Extraterrestrial invaders using humanoid fighting machines called tactical surface fighters. This is a story of how humans live and die while on the brink of extinction. Studios Graphinica, Yumita Company, and Flagship's line. A lot of studios. Graphinica did Jenny Tyson, Record of Ragnarok, and Arsene Senki. Tumita Company did Akun Tokanajo and Digimon Adventures Last Evolution, and Flagship Lines, I don't know. Source is a visual novel. Genres are action, drama, mecha, sci-fi. Series composition will be done by Tatsuhiko Urahata, who did script work for Aria, Hanasaki Roha. Series composition for Suizure Children. And the theme music will be done by Stereo Dive Foundation. So Chris has one reason to watch the show.
Nothing about this will ever happen. It doesn't matter how many cute girls you throw up on the screen. I don't care who the studio is. This series has already done me wrong. A character I fell in love with, they did something wrong to her, and I will never, ever watch another of this series. None. I refuse.
Yeah, for those who don't know, at some point we watched Source and Marken, which was based off of the Muv Love franchise. It's odd because it seems like this one is supposed to be like the second game of Muv Love franchise. So it's kind of curious why they didn't adapt the first game. They're just kind of jump right into the second game, because this is supposed to be the sequel of the original game. So I don't know if maybe that first game did have an adaptation. I'm just not aware of it, but... I have seen a lot of people complain about the fact that why are they doing the second? Why don't they do the first one? I would imagine it's probably because they're either rebooting the second one or, you know, the first one's not as good as people think it is. I don't know. But I will be checking it out. I am already, again, similarly to Schwarzenmarken, very off-put by the CGI monsters. The monsters are supposed to look very unsettling. They're just kind of creepy-looking monsters. But at the same time, the way they're making them in art style and matching the world and the other mechas and stuff, they look like they don't fit, like, physically. Not like, yeah, obviously they're alien, they're supposed to look alien, but they just look like toys just kind of put in an arena or something. But
they look stupid.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I didn't like them the first time. I don't like them this time. They look stupid.
This girl's dying so fast. That cutesy looking girl is so
I don't
dead.
Trust it. I don't trust it. And that's, yes, that's the cute girl that splashed on the screen.
Super
and I went,
short.
No.
Super moe. She's totally dead. That girl's gone.
Don't trust this show.
Muv Love Alternative. If you want to be tortured by poor girls being slaughtered, check that out. It's probably just an aspect of Schwarzenmarken. And watch this one's like nobody dies. We'll see. Andrew will see. I'm sorry, not we'll see. Andrew will see. And other listeners possibly will see. So, there you go. The Night Beyond the Tri-Cornered Window, or Sankaku Mado no Sotagawa wa Yoru. This one is bookstore employee Mikado always had a tendency to see creepy things. He had lived his life pretending he didn't. This is the same. Why is this similarities happening so much right now?
It looks like the show that we talked about a little while ago.
That's what I'm saying.
It's, instead of a girl, it's a guy.
Right? It's like they're all banding together to throw off Andrew and his synopsis. Anyways, he lived his life pretending he didn't see these things, but then he has a fateful encounter with an exorcist named Hiyakawa. Mikado ends up being forced to help out with exorcisms duties and has to deal with the embarrassing fact that that exercising these things with Hiyakawa somehow feels really good. While getting dragged into dealing with these cases every day,
we can exercise them if we have a little bit of a boy love scene.
They run into a cold-blooded murder case. Yeah. I kind of got that feeling when I watched the PV, so it honestly doesn't surprise me too much, because it's like, the PV's like, oh, I see this thing, and then suddenly the rest of the PV is this guy literally with his hand on him, talking to him, and it's like, okay, I know where this is going. Anyways, Zero G is working on it. He did Grand Blue, Sugumomo, My Roommate is a Cat, Battery Dive, and One Room. Source is a manga. Genres are comedy, drama, mystery, slice of life, supernatural. Series composition is being done by Ayumi Sekine, who did Magical Sight, Fate Go, First Order, and Idolish 7. So,
yeah, I was halfway interested in this show until I heard you read the synopsis, and now it's like, I don't know. I really, really don't.
And the pause is only really there because, and I, like I said, it basically shows a little bit in the PV, is that the top and bottom thing, where it's like super forced, and it's like, it turns into nothing but this one person being overly pushy to the one person. If it can avoid that and be an interesting story, I'm willing to give it a shot. So, but I don't think that's
going to... You were asking about Yuri bait, and this is Yaoi bait.
Yeah. All right, one that I'm actually super, super excited for, and I hope I'm not overblowing it, and I hope I don't end up being let down because I overhype myself, but Selection Project. This one has a long synopsis, too. Held every summer, the national show Selection Project is the biggest gateway for girls who strive to be idols and the place where the legendary idol Akari Amazawa was born. Suzune Miyama is also one who has longed for such a dream stage. Having been sick with since childhood, she listened to the song of the light many times in her bed in the hospital room. Akari's singing voice gave her a lot of smiles and courage, inspiring Suzune to follow in her footsteps. In her last summer of a junior high school, Suzune decides to challenge the 7th annual selection project to make herself her dream come true. The girls who challenge selection have all have strong feelings that are second to none, accumulated efforts, and extraordinary charm. Only 9 stars are selected from amongst the thousands of candidates. Now the hot and harsh audition battle of the girls begins to make their dreams come true. Synopsis was a little weird there, but I'll go with it. The studio is Dogokobo, again, who's did Monthly Girls and Zaki-kun, Plastic Memories, New Game, Sing Yesterday for Me, Tadakun Never Falls in Love. Source is an original. The genres are music. The director will be Daisuke Hiramaki, who did Wataten, Asteroid in Love, and episode directorial work for many titles that are included in the PA Works title catalog. And character design is being done by Kana Hirayama, who did Rent-A-Girlfriend. So you can see a little bit of similarity there. So, and the streaming service will be Funimation. So, but yeah, granted, most all idol shows are original. So that's not really the part of it that excites me. I think it's the aspect that, one, it's being done by Dogokobo. So an original being done by Dogokobo, who is a studio that I think excels at cutesy girls type shows. But not only that, but that aspect of bringing those characters to life, insert the fact that will be an original done by them, is exciting for me. Daisuke Hiramaki is a great director that has done some really fantastic stuff in the past. If you just include just that one project of, like, Wataten, yeah, granted, you can talk about the actual, you know, question mark aspects of that show, but there's a ton of really fantastic animation and character moments in that show. I mean, just go watch the last episode of Wataten, and you'll see where my kind of enjoyment comes from. Now, granted, a lot of that had to do with, like, just a really fantastic team of animators and stuff that worked on that, but it shows a pedigree there. So there's a lot of really positive things coming out of this that really has me excited. So I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be fun to see a different take on the idol show. So this being kind of almost a, for lack of a better term, a battle royale competition type.
An idol show that's about competition? That's definitely new.
Well, yeah, but it looks like I said, more of a kind of a... I hate to use the word because I can't think of a different way of... better way of saying it is the kind of a tournament style type thing where they're actually... looks like they're actually going to be competing to see who is the best idol instead of... Yeah, a lot of idol shows do kind of have the kind of a battle of the bands, but it's not really a battle of the bands per se. It's just this group plays and this group plays, and of course, naturally, more times than not, the main group is the one that's technically winning. So this one might be interesting to see kind of a hopefully more of a battle where there are actually two groups that are actually singing at each other or something like that. Something that that actually the one that we mentioned earlier, that hypnotic mic thing, was doing, that which I would love to actually see a battle of the bands actually happening right in front of you.
There you go. I think the sad thing is I think most of the shows do battle of the bands type stuff. It's just you never see the other groups because they don't want to animate them. Yeah. Selection Project. I'm super excited for that one, so we'll see. Alright, let's move on to some more battle suit type shows. Exciting. And CGI shows, actually. Shiki Zakura. This one is Kakeru Miwa. Is an otherwise ordinary high school student, but a strange twist puts him on the front line in a supernatural battle against the menacing Oni. Aw, snap. Apparently the website just broke. It's that incredible of a trailer. It literally broke the browser. Isn't that great? It's processing all that CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, with the help of fantastically powerful battle suits known as Yoroi, Kakeru joins an elite team that fights the monstrous Oni and defends humanity from otherworldly threats. The team is assigned to protect Oka Myonjin, a shrine maiden who is prophesied to save the world, but she must perform a sacred ritual within Shikizakura, the horizon that connects the spirit and the physical world that lies somewhere amid the bloomy cherry blossoms and the colorful autumn leaves. But in this world, the journey to destiny is hard-fought, winding, and sometimes deadly. Done by Studio Sublimation, helped with Words Bubble Up Like Soda Pop and Dragon Dogma. So, there you go. Source is an original. The genres are sci-fi, and the theme song's being done by Main and Asaka, so I guess that's got going for them. So, Chris, are you excited?
Absolutely not. I hate to say this. I don't want to be a hater, and I do not like those battle scenes. Don't even. The character artwork looked fine. So I was kind of wanting to give it a little bit of leeway there, but once I seen that first battle scene, I was like, oh goodness no.
Was this the one that has like the special effects around the fighting just did not look, just look like off-putting?
None of that looks
no,
good
I think
me.
That was a different show,
that,
maybe.
That, to me, just looks horrid.
Like the donkey-style cannon. I don't know. It doesn't look too bad to me, but I guess I'm more used to the CGI stuff than Chris, but we'll see. I guess I just hope that it's not just about just fighting to get to one point, that there's some interesting storyline in there, which, based on the synopsis, doesn't give me too much hope, but it's a synopsis, so it's not the entire story. We'll see. Don't want everything to be told to us, obviously. But yeah, a lot of the cannon fires and stuff in the explosions don't look like they really fit. But
well, it has nothing to do with the CGI. I don't like the mecha artwork or whatever you want to call that, the battle suits. I don't. It doesn't look good to me.
Yeah, there you go.
But hey, everybody has their own opinion, so.
Shikizakura. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. Moving on, we have another idol show. Not really. It's not really a idol show. It's a TV anime project as part of the Pura Arai. It's called Pura Ore, Pride of Orange. It's part of a mixed media project that's about women's ice hockey. And I literally thought the show was going to be about idols. The key art literally looks like it's Love Live. Like, literally, the characters look like Love Live characters. But no, it's hockey. So I'm guessing at some point they may do some idol stuff. But they're literally playing hockey in the PV. So it was so funny when I was doing my live show, talking about, you know, building up the outline for this. I kept hearing people talk about ice hockey. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it wasn't until I seen actually watched the PV, I'm like, oh, this is what they were talking about. It's an ice hockey show. I thought it was an idol show. Oh, it was great. And at least it looks like they're not using a bunch of CGI, so I guess that's a positive too. I figured it would be nothing but ice hockey CGI characters. I'm sure that'll change when they actually get, I mean, that technically there is CGI, but yeah, studio is C2C that's working on it. They did World End, Wandering Witch, Hitori Bochi, and Tsukimichi. This, again, is a mixed media project that will probably be selling a smartphone game and music and all that kind of stuff. Genres are sports. Series composition is Toko Machida, who, of course, did a lot of work. Director is Takefumi Anzai, who did Hitori Bochi, episode work for Hanasaki Roha, and was assistant director in Glass Lip. And, yeah. Theme song by Mine. Again, Mine doing more music. So, are you excited for hockey? I've literally had zero interest in hockey my entire life. I'm sorry to hockey fans out there. It's just I had like a very brief time where I wanted to play hockey, but I've never really been into hockey. I think it's actually one of the better sports out there. I just never watched it.
Yeah, I think I went to a hockey match once. And I just seen a lot of people beating up on each other. It was back in the day. I don't know if they still do that now, but yeah, back in the day when that was a thing.
But
and that's why everybody
would you watch more of it if it was cute girls, Chris?
As long as they're not beating the crap out of each other, probably.
I wonder if they'll have some throwdowns in this show, like, suddenly out of nowhere, just the... You have the one hot-headed character, like, probably either the green-haired girl looked like she'd be the instigator. She'd be the one that would actually start the fights, but I think the blue-haired girl would be the one that, like, steps in and, like, goes, all right, drops the gloves, and she's the one that has, like, the dark history of being benched all the time because she bloodied noses all the time. And, yeah, they just, like, throw down in the middle of the court. That'd be crazy. Like, I would honestly give CTC some major props, or whoever the company that's behind the Mixed Media Project for it. Just to suddenly out of nowhere in episode one, there's just like this massive throwdown, and there's bloody noses all over the place. It would be great. Like, I think this show would literally be the most popular show in Canada the moment that happened.
It is one of those weird things. It's like, yeah, I do love the concept of just them generally, cute girls doing different sports. It's a nice way of, you know, getting to know the sport a little bit better. So it is fun to watch shows generally for that concept alone. But yeah, this one is a kind of a weird one because I don't know if I want to see cute girls beating the crap out of each other.
Yep. That's Pura Ore, or Pride of Orange. Check that out if that's interesting to you. Moving on, we have Tesla Note. Mission T is a secret operation to save the world from destruction. Trained as a ninja. Trained as a ninja from a young age, Botan Negoro, raised to become the ultimate spy, teams up with another excellent spy, Kuruma. Their aim is to recover the legacy of the genius inventor Nikola Tesla. The shards of Tesla. Can the two outwit the agents of other countries who are also pursuing these fragments? A super original. We're supposed to say that a super original spy thriller begins. Don't worry, it's super original.
It's not just original, it's super original.
Super original. You will not see, you are superly not see anything like this anywhere else. That's how super original it is.
It's definitely not a buddy cop. It is definitely not, not a drama. It's definitely not a thriller. This is a super original show. So it's going to be breaking the bounds of everything ever done. This show is so super original, the characters are going to be jumping out of the screen. So you know.
There is no
They're going to investigate your room for these Tesla shards.
There will be zero possibility of them going into some sort of deep cavern or something, finding the thing, and then immediately the bad guy shows up right when they grab it off the pedestal, and then they steal it away and run off. That is totally not going to happen. That is something that is a trope within, Raiders of the Lost Ark or something like that. This is super original right here. Anyways.
There's definitely not going to be any chest jokes for any of this because it's so super original. It's just going to be... They're probably going to make...
No hanging down from the ceiling and grabbing the thing off the pedestal with lasers around that. None of that's going to happen.
There's no...
Super original. Super.
All right. I think we've killed that joke. Did we kill it yet?
There's definitely going to be no... Tesla Note. We have no PV for it. It looks like a full CGI show by a studio that I've never heard of before. So, good luck, Gambit. Not sure. And I was going to make another joke. I'm going to move on. This is actually very interesting to me. This one is Kyokai Senki. And this one is in 2061 AD. Japan is dominated. I'm sorry, dominated. Yes, it's dominated. I thought it was another word. Japan is dominated, divided, and ruled by the four major economic blocks of the world. The Japanese people spend their days oppressed as subjugated citizens. Again, this is sounding very familiar. Why do these shows sound so familiar?
Definitely not Code Geass.
Definitely not Code Geass. Thank you, Chris. I'm glad you were on the same page as me. I didn't think that would be the case. Anyways. Yeah, oppressed and subjugated citizens. Japan became the front line of the worlds where AMAIM, a human-type special mobile weapons deployed by each economic zone strut about. One day, Amao Shiba, a boy who loves machines, meets Iles, I-L-E-S, autonomous thinking AI named Guy. And this leads him to throw himself into battle to reclaim Japan by piloting the Amaim Kinbu, built by himself. So, basically, Go Geass. Anyways, that's not what I'm talking about. I had never read the synopsis before, but that's fine. I'm kind of excited for this one just because, one, it's being done by Studio Beyond, which is, again, a subsidiary of Sunrise, which was a studio that was bought by Sunrise. So it's Sunrise, so you do have the pedigree within the corporation of Gundam. It is an original, which excites me because I always like this concept of shows that are built around a animation. They don't have that feeling of losing something because it translates wrong. The director is Nobuyoshi Habara, who did Battleship Yamato 2202, Fafnir Dead Aggressor, Exodus, and Breakblade. The mechanical designers that are working on the anime as well are veterans of Gundam series, and as well as Eureka 7 and Alnova Zero series. So you have some really great mechanical designers that are behind this, and it looks, based off the PV and the information that I've been seeing, this will be 2D mecha drawn animation. So no CGI, which on one hand, I'm like, please don't kill yourselves. But on the other hand, I love it. Like, I'm all for whenever. Well, there was one that came out here recently that was the one where the girls go into, like, an alternate world and they combat each other. I love that show because that one was being touted as, here is, you know, no CGI, it's fully drawn animated mecha. And the mechas here look incredible. Like, we have one of the mechanical designers is from Iron Blooded Orphans, and you kind of see that feeling of, like, Babardus in one of the mechas. So I'm super excited for it just for that, just for the artistic value of it, because these mechas look really incredible. So, yeah, it's got me excited. I'm all for it. So hopefully it has a really good story to go along with it, I guess.
Yeah, I have a bit of hope for this. I'm okay with mechas. So it, and having something that is done by, you know, a spinoff of Sunrise, it'll be interesting to see how what they do as something that's not the mainline Gundam series.
I will say, though, additionally, with the fact of, like I said, some of the stuff looking like Iron Blood Orphans type mecha and stuff, like I mentioned earlier, the director working on Breakblade, I don't know if many people watched Breakblade, but it had really good action scenes. If I actually enjoyed a lot of the storytelling within Breakblade, but one of the things I enjoyed a lot was the combat sequences, and I think having that director part of that as well is going to be fantastic. So, yeah, Kyokai Senki, definitely looking forward to that one. Cool stuff. Moving on, we have Deep Insanity, The Lost Child. Madness and unawakening sleep. Rudolph Syndrome. This is a new illness, is slowly but steadily approaching humanity, caused by the huge underground world asylum that appeared in Antarctica. There are strange creatures different from the Earth and unknown resources. There are strange creatures different from the Earth and unknown resources. Okay. People bet their lives on the depths of this mysterious new world, definitely not made in Abyss, to get huge wealth, organizational plots, or their own ambitions. To get huge wealth, organizational plots. Okay, and here alone, a young man with a wish in his heart is trying to challenge this front line of asylum.
Why not call it Agartha? Isn't that the name of the Inner Earth, is Agartha?
I don't know that it's supposed to be Inner Earth, but sure.
Well, they're going into the depths of the world.
Yeah, if they go that deep, I didn't know they were going that deep. Studio Silverlink is working on it, who did Kokoro Connect, Masamune Kun's Revenge, and Watamode. The source is original, apparently seemingly some sort of prequel to a manga, possibly. Genres are sci-fi. The director is Shin Onuma, who did Watamode, Kokoro Connect, Demon King Academy, and Fate Clyde Liner. series composition and script write for is Kento Shimoyama, who did Bleach, Gintama, Masamune-kun's Revenge, and Servant X Service. And the theme will be done by Konami Suzuki, Chris.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's an interesting concept. I'm definitely going to feel it out for a few episodes for sure. But the concept sounds a little bit dark. So we'll see. It does seem interesting. I'd like to see what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those ones where I don't feel like I'm getting enough information to sell me on it. But at the same time, it's one of those ones where you probably don't want a lot of information. This is probably going to be one of those ones where it's kind of, you want to uncover it as you go along with the story. So I'm perfectly fine with not really knowing too much. And based on being an original, does help the idea that mystery can kind of stay out there. So I'm interested in it. The PV is very obscure, but at the same time looks good. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. But yeah, that's definitely one on my radar for now. All right, we have next one is Gakuten Sekai no Denshi Shoujo, or Rumble Grandal. Japan, 2019, just before the dawn of a new era, suddenly a rift to another dimension appears in the sky, revealing an alternative world, Shinkoku Nippon. With the sky and the earth upside down, this parallel world keeps their formal militarism, with its era being eternal Showa. The military invades the real Japan with giant humanoid robots called Gaddon, and their gas weapons Ginmu, rendering our modern weapons ineffective. Shinkoku Nippon instantly seizes the government and archives de facto conquest of Japan. The new era Reiwa has not arrived for Japan. Okay. Studio is Lurch, who did Assassination Classroom, Scum's Wish, School Live, or School Live. Given Toilet Bound Kanaka-kun, and the source is an original. The character designer is Akio Watanabe, of course, has done like Bakano Monogatari series here recently, Higurashi Go and Satsu. Director is Masaomi Ando, who did School Live, Astro Lost in Space, Scum's Wish, Hakume no Tomikochi. And series composition is being done by Makoto Uezu, who did Scum's Wish, Assassination Classroom, Konosuba, Carnival Phantasm, and Arslan Senki. So, really solid team working on this, and a decent studio as well. Really a good studio. So, I don't know.
PV sucks.
Yeah, this is another one where the PV doesn't really sell me on it, but everything in the synopsis, everything in the creation behind it sounds interesting and solid, so...
Yeah, the character art looks great. I really kind of am interested based on the characters for sure. Concept wise, could be dark, but it feels like it's going to be about middle of the road for sure. But yeah, the PV, I'm not getting anything out of the PV outside of the character art. That's the biggest thing that I'm getting out of the PV.
Yeah, I guess my struggle is more around the idea that it doesn't seem like it knows what it wants to be. Based on the PV and the synopsis and everything, it feels like it should be more heavy, but yet there's a lot of goofiness and over-the-topness, I guess, cutesy. So I'm not sure exactly what this show wants to be, or if it just wants to be a mishmash of all of them. I guess it's technically something it could be doing, so... I don't know. It's got me intrigued. But I'm gonna temper my expectations just because it doesn't seem like it knows what it wants it to be. But what it could be awesome. So we shall see. Like I said, a lot of really interesting originals this season. So that's Rumble Garandol. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. This is the one that had the bad CGI. Just giving you a pre-warning, Chris. Bad CGI. Megaton Kyo Musashi. This one's story takes place, 90% of humanity has been wiped out due to an invasion. Survivors live in a shelter where their lives are monitored and memories of the invasion erased. Three teenagers from the shelter are chosen to pilot three machines that combine to form a Musashi robot made out of the material named Megatronium Alloy. The series will balance robot action and school life. Yay. Studio is OLM, Because, you know, Andrew always loves whenever there's, you know, dangers of dying and being wiped out. But school, Pokemon, Berserk, and Gunsmith Gap is what LM has done. Like I said, they're doing 3 shows this season. So I hope they know what they're doing. Source is a multimedia project, basically based off a video game. I don't know. It could be good, but the CGI just does not match the anime.
Oh yeah, it's
too much detail, and the effects are just too much.
The contrasting in between the two is because I hate to use this word, but the anime style is very, very
simple and clean.
Yeah, it's like so far on the opposite end of the hyper deal, realistic, super detailed. It's a game.
They
it's
literally
a multimedia project.
Well, no, I said that was going to be based. It was going to have a game too, but I literally didn't think they have it produced already.
and the mecha is like. I mean, you're talking. You got. We've got practically ray tracing going on the mecha. It's like shine to it, like dust particles. We got divots and stuff going on. That's how hyper realistic it's the contrast is so ridiculously separate from each other.
It's very Danganronpa with character designs and the actual animation.
Yeah, I almost, and this is what I was saying, I don't want to use the term, but it's almost cartoonish how super I don't want to say cutesy, but because it's definitely an anime style, it's just more in the kids realm that you would see a lot of the anime styling over here. So yeah, it's high, massive, insane contrast.
The thing that really saddened me about this one is I thought this was going to be an adaptation of 13 Sentinels. Like, the moment I seen the key art for it, I'm like, well, maybe it's like a different Japanese name than 13 Sentinels that we had in America. And I was like, oh, it's not 13 Sentinels. That sucks. But then I also corrected myself in the idea of, I give credit to anybody that can manage to make an anime adaptation of 13 Sentinels, because the story is so structurally supposed to be so divided between the characters and you have to experience them separately. But That's Megaton Kyo Musashi. Check that out. That sounds to you. Next we have Watcha Primage. This one is Matsuri Hibino spends her days in middle school dreaming about Primage, the sparkling stage show that combines song, dance, and fashion with actual magic. She'd love to star in the Primage one day, but when the spirited troublemaker Miyamu appears from another magical world to scout Matsuri as her pre-magi partner, the pair takes to the stage to become the top stars of pre-magi hand in hand. The studio that's working on it is Tatsunoko Production and Dongwu Animation. Sources are original and the genres are music, and director is Junichi Sato, who did Manchu Aria and Princess Tutu. So pretty solid director working behind it. And I believe this should be streaming on HIDIVE. Not 100%, but there you go. I don't have a PB or anything for it, but it sounds very cutesy and very fun. Like, I guess I'm getting Precure vibes from it, I guess. Which I've never actually looked into any of that. So next one we have is, I don't know if you'd call this fall or if you call this summer, because technically it's coming out September 22nd, but I don't know if they're doing a full rollout or not. But yeah, September 22nd, keep in mind, on Disney Plus, they will have the Star Wars Visions series coming out, which again is a anthology of 9 short films that are done based on the Star Wars universe. And of course, as we mentioned before, this is a different studios for different episodes. Like, we have Geno Studios working on one, Trigger's working on 2 of them, Silent Sorrow will be working on 2 of the episodes, Kinema Citrus, Production IG, a lot of really well-known directors that are working on it. I'm super excited for it, based on the last trailer they released of it was super hype, but I don't know that I'm getting a Disney Plus just for that. Maybe if there's like a, I don't know, like a free trial or something, I doubt it, but yeah. I kind of want to watch it, but at the same time, I don't really want to get a Disney Plus account just for it, so we'll figure out some way of watching it, but it definitely sounds interesting. The Hikke story, or Hikke Monogatari, the original epic, tells the story of the rise and fall of the Taira clan during the Genpei War. The anime centers around perspective of Biwa, a blind traveling minstrel. Biwa meets Taira no Shigemori, heir to his clan, and bearing a supernatural sight that can perceive ghosts. She then proclaims to him that his a prophecy of his clan's downfall. This one's being done by Studio Science Saru, of course, to Devilman Crybaby, Ping Pong the Animation, Izoken, Japan Sinks 2020. Source is based off of a novel. The director, of course, is Naoko Yamada, who is well known for her work in A Silent Voice, K-On!, Liz and the Bluebird, and Tamako Market. She was a well-known director in Kyoto Animation that has unfortunately moved on to Science Saru for many that are fans of Kyoto Animation. Script work is being done by Reiko Yoshida, who also, similar to Naoko, has done, I think, Silent Voice and Liz and Bluebird, but also did Aria, Castletown Dandelion, K-On!, Violet Evergarden, and Nananbiori. And streaming this will be Funimation, and it is literally starting tomorrow, which is September 15th, so... I didn't really see if there how many episodes they're going to have for it, but they do claim that they are starting the streaming of it on September 15th, way ahead of Japan's schedule for it. So, again, if they drop the whole thing, I guess you can classify it as a summer show, but I'm assuming it's supposed to go on and run into the fall season. So
I don't know. That one I actually am kind of interested in. I'm scared of the artwork, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm always hesitant with Science Saru, but I'm really hoping, based on the fact that Naoko and Reiko is working on it, that they're going to inject it with some really good storytelling that I'm actually looking forward to. The story sounds interesting. Biwa is being voiced by Aoyuki, which is a huge plus. She's also head of Chromia. But there's a lot of things going for this. My only hesitation is Science Saru, which... I'm fine with people loving Science Saru. It's just a studio that has never really worked for me. But I'm looking forward to what Naoko can do at that studio. And I'm excited for what she has going for her. So this is definitely high up on my excitement list. And I'm looking forward to it. Definitely. I guess we'll know tomorrow. Build Divide, Code Black. Build Divide, hashtags or pound 000000 Code Black. The synopsis is... I hate quotes and synopsis. I can see it. The way I can win. This time, I will beat him. So come at me again. Except, Bloom, Gambler of Souls. What did I just say? In the Utopia.
You sounded almost like you were doing one of those...
come at me again. Except, Bloom, Gambler of Souls. What the hell?
You almost sounded Chuny for a second.
Yes, definitely Chuny. In New Kyoto, a city governed by the king, one's worth is determined by his or her strength. In the Build Divide trading card game, rumors swirl about New Kyoto and its king. If you defeat the king in Build Divide, any wish will be fulfilled. And in order to challenge the king, one must participate in the TGC, or trading card game, battle known as Rebuild, and the key must be completed, whatever that is. Everyone has a wish they long to have fulfilled. Teruto Kurabe, a boy who vows to take down the king, and Sakura Banka, the mysterious girl who guides him, throw themselves into rebuild battle with New Kyoto as the stage. The curtain rises in the battle against the Teruto and his friend. Sure. This one's already been slated to have two seasons. I believe the second season is going to be in spring 2022. So if you do get interested in this show, be excited for a long two seasons. The studio is Leiden Films, who of course did Yamada-kun's and The Seven Witches, Tokyo Revengers, Love and Lies, and Terraformers. The source is an original mixed media project, obviously for a trading card game. Genres are game and fantasy. The creator is Hikaru Muno, who did High Card and the manga for Kakegurui, Joker, and Trip. And the theme song will be done by Egoist. So,
on the bright side, if you do decide to watch this, most of the card game shows tend to go on forever, so you're going to be full for a while.
I was getting like a Selector Infected We Cross type vibe from the PV.
Yeah, it felt dark.
But I don't think it feels as dark as We Cross.
Right. It's one of those weird things. I do find myself falling into the if I do start on a, because I did that with one a while back where I started it out and just checking one out, and it ended up being a show that went on for like 3 or 4 seasons, and it's still going to this day. I do see the appeal of the card games. The card game shows, they are very shonen-esque, and they can suck you in very good, very easily.
Yeah, for some reason, never get trapped by them at all. Never had a drive for them, but you guys might with Bill Divide, code black. So you too can succumb and get me again, except Bloom, Gambler of Souls. What was the thing that she always said? It's something like destruction's the world or something like that, that she used to say, and Rika from Shinobi Love Delusions. Anyways, that's it for new shows. For the returning shows, we have Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba Entertainment District Arc. This is the second season of Kimetsu no Yaiba. Thankfully, this will be running for 2 total cores, so from fall into winter, so that's exciting. Again, I'll be returning. Ufotable will be doing it again, so lots of fantastic animation for sure. Did you watch the movie yet?
No, not yet.
Get on it. Don't talk back. Don't give me that look. Mushoku Tensei, Jobless Reincarnation Part 2. So that's super exciting. I cannot wait for that to come back. I've been like craving. I'm like, I cannot wait to start watching the show again and doing my weekly impressions. I had a lot of fun last time too, so really happy to see this come back. Was glad they took a break so they can make sure they keep the animation and everything on the par that they've been, because it looks fantastic. So yeah, cannot wait. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stone Ocean. So fans of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, I think this one's beginning in December of this year. And I think somebody said there's supposed to be monthly releases. I don't know if that's true, but it seems interesting. So yeah. 86 Part 2 is coming out. I'm super excited for this one as well. The second core for 86. The first core was fantastic. Like I said in my thoughts at the end of the first season, I am extremely curious as to what they'll do going forward. It's kind of one of those things where I almost feel like their next step could make or break the series as a whole. And I'm really curious what that next step's going to be. I have been going into this completely blind. I don't want to watch any of the PVs or anything. I just want to go into it completely blind. So I'm assuming Crunchyroll will have this one again because they had the first part. So we'll see. World Trigger season 2-3. Are you excited, Chris? We get another season of World Trigger of people asking us if we're going to watch World Trigger.
I need to hurry up and go and watch it. I really do. I hated that I fell off of it, and I've always wanted to go back, and I never did.
I don't know how many people listened to us back when we watched the first season, but I couldn't get past the three lips. The three lips, I just could not get past. I was so sick of seeing the three lips, I stopped watching the show. But there you go. Season 3 coming. I'm sure it's a fantastic show. I just can't get past the three lips thing. Restaurant to Another World is coming back. Are you excited, Chris?
Yep.
Be excited. It's coming back. Those actually still caught up. I've not been caught up. So, yeah, Yasha Hime is coming back. So, for those that are, again, super fans of the Inuyasha series, yeah, be excited. I'm super excited for Yuki Inu's Hero coming back. Yay! The great Mankai chapter. So the third season of Yuki Inu as a Hero, this will be on High Dive, and I am super excited for it. I kind of had my issues with the last season, but I'm hoping they have a really awesome third season to get into, and they're not just, you know, milking it. But
well, this should be the combination of all the storylines, right?
I don't know what to be combined, but we'll see, I guess. Just the next chapter. Lupin the Third is coming back for part 6, so fans of Lupin the Third, I've not been keeping up on this series at all, but I'm sure it's fantastic. It's always been fantastic, so good stuff there. Fans of Digimon, we have Digimon Ghost Game. I have zero information about this. I'm sure it will be fun, but there you go. Cardfight Vanguard is coming back for Overdress Season 2, so again,
Cardfight Vanguard was the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
The one that I started and I fell off of, and it's still going to this day.
Yeah. Moot King or Mute King, I don't know, the dance hero, that's coming back, so fans of Muta King or The Dance Hero, I'm not sure which one's which, be excited. Baki's coming back. It's going to be on Netflix. So if you want to watch Baki, I'm guessing his name's Baki, punch a grasshopper, be excited. Way of the House Husband's coming back for part two. I'm certain this will probably be a full dump season as well. But yeah, that'll be on October 7th on Netflix. So fans of Kendra Suda like myself, be excited for another part. And for shorts, we have Kaginado, which is the short series being done through Key. Obviously, including a whole bunch of different characters from the Key properties, including Kanon, Air, Clonod, Little Busters, and Rewrite. I'm not sure why they put Rewrite in there, but sure, Rewrite will be in there. Chibi form characters in a comedy skit based show. Hopefully somebody picks it up. I'm sure somebody will.
That sounds like that could be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't had a studio listed for it yet. That was the question mark that I had. I wonder if it was going to be the studio that does like all the Overlord shorts, all the ReZero shorts. They did the Isekai Quartet series. But yeah. Let's Make a Cup 2 is coming back. Yay! Second season of Let's Make a Mug. So that's cool. I was kind of, and it's so funny because I felt like something was missing, like something really technically needed to be kind of resolved in that series, and I'm glad to see it getting a second season. The PV looks like it's kind of start getting more into this the mother story and stuff, which I thought was kind of cool as well. So
it definitely deserves another season. It was doing such a fantastic job, and I really do want to see more.
Yeah, I was very much surprised by it. And the anime of the year. Yes. I think this is the last one. We're saving the best for the fourth before the last. 180 Byo de Kimi no Mimi wo Shiawase ni Dekiru ka? Or Can I Make Your Ears Happy in 180 Seconds? This is going to be the best show of the season. Apparently, it is a show that is obviously, based on the subtitle, or the title of itself, is essentially first-person perspective anime with the element of ASMR, or the idea of stereo sound recording of voices. So apparently, you can put on some headphones and watch this first-person anime and have them different voice actors speak into your ears like you're there. Fantastic. It's going to be great. Studio working on it is Ekachi Epilka Indivision, which is done Demon Lord Retry and Crossing Time. Crossing Time was good. Demon Lord Retry had some good moments too. Source and original character designer is Takeyuki Noguchi, of course, who did Higahiro, Rail Romanesque, and Tenshin No 3P. Interesting seiyuu's working on this is Shiori Mikami, who did Akari from Yoyuri and Krista from Attack on Titan. Suzuko Mimori, who did Sora from Digimon Tri-Adventures, Ophis from High School DxD, Umi from Love Live, and Togo from Yuki Yuna's a Hero. Azumi Waki is also in there, who did Eddie from Anatori EX, Special of the Week from Umamuzume, Pretty Derby, Hinata from Tokyo Revengers, Kana Ito, who did work as Yui of Sword Online, and Ruiko from Certain Magical Index, Ohana from Hanasaka Iroha, and Senna from Haganai. Yu Serizawa, who did Sherry from How Not to Summon Demon Lord, as well as Iroha from Real Girl 3D Kanojo. Aoi Koga, who did Aki from Akishino from Remake Our Life, and Kaguya from Kaguya-sama Love is War. And finally, Sho Hayami, who did, yes, Ichiya from Fairy Tail, and Ferdinand from Ascendance of Bookworm. We had to throw a male actor in here, and we couldn't get Kendra Suda, so we got Sho Hayami. That's fine. Yeah, I'm just very curious about that show. I'm definitely going to be checking it out, so that'll be a lot of fun when we get around to that, so. Finally, for other shorts, we have Deji Meets Girl. The wondrous story is set in motion one summer when Maisa Higa, a listless first-year high school student, high school girl, who works part-time at the front desk of her family's hotel in Okinawa, meets the Ichiro Suzuki, a mysterious youth who came alone from Tokyo as a hotel guest. Since Suzuko's arrival, Deji things have been happening, and Maise, like fish swimming around the room or a giant banyan tree smashing through the hotel ceiling. Deji is Okinawa, the word for that means totally or very. So very things or totally things. Okay, sure. Gotcha. That makes total sense. Thanks for clarifying that. Lost in translation, I'm guessing. But yeah. Interesting. We'll see. Bang Dream Garupa Pico Forever, a third season of Bang Dream Garupa Pico, announced on a live stream of Bang Dreams. It's just basically chibi Bang Dream show. And finally, Kimi to Fit Boxing. Fit Boxing animation. So if you like the Nintendo boxing game, there you go. Being done by Junpei Morita, who did Lost Song and Occultic Nine. So man, that person has fallen. Shows that are continuing from summer include Aquatope on White Sand, which is going for 24 episodes. The Great Jahi Will Not Be Defeated, which is going 20 episodes. And Fina Part Princess will be going on until it finishes its 12-episode run. I don't know what's going on with Tokyo Revengers. That one never had a listing for episodes, so I'm sure that will probably go on and on and on and on and on. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. see here. We have... I did not get a link for any chart. I think there's a couple of interesting ONA movies that are coming up, which is... Yeah, we have Jujutsu Kaisen Zero movie, Sword Art Online Progressive, which I thought that was going to be a series, but apparently they're doing a movie instead. So, the Aino Utago wo Kikasete movie is coming out, which does look really, really cute. I hope that one does well. Another Eureka movie, apparently. I've lost so much. I have totally lost any semblance of knowledge about what's going on with Eureka 7, so apparently that's happening. Another chapter for Princess Principal, apparently that's still going, and I've yet to figure out what's going on with that, too. Aria, another movie for Aria is coming out. Hopefully, eventually, we can get all those over here. Instead of doing a sequel to Standalone Complex 2045, they decided to make a compilation movie out of it. So, thanks. After leaving us on a literal cliffhanger, they're still not doing a second season, doing movies. So, thank you for the middle finger, I guess. there's an OVA Forgiven, so I know there's fans of that one, so I'll be excited for that. Gambare Toki-chan, that's another, apparently, a series by the Mirror Tights person, so if you like Girls in Tights, there's another series coming for that. I don't know if it's going to be on YouTube or something again. That's it. So, what are you excited for, Chris, while I pull up what everybody else is excited for? I actually sent out a tweet asking what people were exciting for. Yeah, so I asked on Twitter, see what everybody's excited for. We got Sakamine says, nothing I can really call other than second seasons, like 86, Jobless Reincarnation, Restaurant to Another World. Definitely all solid in my eyes, except for maybe the last one. That's a Chris thing, so I never finished the first one, so I guess the shows that are new, I plan on giving a chance, are Kumi Can't Communicate, The World's Best Assassin. Both seem like they could be good, but I'm not holding my breath. Can the Coolness said, Kumi Can't Communicate, Demon Slayer Season 2, and 86 Second Season. John the Black Wolf says, non-sequels, both Dogokubo shows, Doc Opus Destiny, and Kumi-san Can't Communicate, Meruko-chan, and Blue Period. Sequels, Demon Slayer, Mushoku Tensei, Jobless Reincarnation 86, and the later JoJo Part 6 and Jujutsu Kaisen movie. Honorable mention, Platinum Inn and World's End Harem. I won't judge you. Sai says, Shin no Nakama Janai to Yusha no Party. I'm guessing that's the I stopped being a hero one, so. Let's see here. Adrian says, Mushoku Tensei for sure. Chris says, not just Chris. Shutten Baka's Chris. Says, I'll be one of the few people to say Day Day Live Season 4. Sorry, Shutten Baka's. I'm sorry for that.
See, I feel you, man. I really do. If Day Day Live was a thing, I would totally be excited for that.
And then finally, Shuji Jin says, I have no idea what's coming out for the fall season. Well, there you go. Now you know what's coming out for the season. So yeah, Chris, what is your... Did you get a full list of five from all that?
No, I actually have four.
So we purposely avoid doing the sequel stuff. Because if I did sequels, obviously Mushoku Tensei, obviously Yuki Inna is a Hero, Demon Slayer, it would end up being filled with all the returning shows.
Right.
So I would probably... Let's see. I would easily do Takt Opus, even though I... Like I said, I kind of question if it's going to have substance behind all that really incredible animation and, you know, two big studios behind it. My Senpai is annoying. I would probably put that one. Taisho Otome Fairy Tale. I'm into that one. I was going to put Fairy Tale just so I can not have to write everything, but I don't want to... People think I'm putting Fairy Tale as in the Fairy Tale show. The Moon Laika one's pretty solid as well. Other than that, Selection Project, definitely. Oh yeah, the mecha one. I don't know. I love the mecha part of it. I'm just not sure if I'm being really captivated. Oh, the Hike story, obviously. That's a easy though. That's like so easy.
I think I'm stuck between Hike story and that the Shadow Boy.
Shadow Boyo? Which one's Shadow Boyo?
You passed.
Oh, the king one. Yeah, Technobus, Fairy Tale. I don't know. I think that's solid. What was the other one that I was saying that I... Oh, the mecha one. Yeah, unfortunately, I think I might have to leave out the Kyokai Senki, even though, like I said, it has a lot of really fantastic animators behind it, or mechanical designers, and the fact they're doing 2D animation is definitely huge.
What's the name of it?
I saw
King Ranking.
King Ranking, yeah. See, I guess I'll do that one. Oh, I don't have the Laika show, do I?
You're already at five.
Takt Opus, Senpai's Annoying, Fairy Tale, Selection Project, and the Hike story. Yeah. I know, I'm almost tempted to drop off Takt Opus for the Moon Laika show, mainly because I think I got more out of what they're initially presenting for it, but I don't know. I think I'll stick to that. So Fairy Tale, Taisho. I can't even read what I'm writing. But so yeah, I go Takt Opus, My Senpai is Annoying, Fairy Tale, Taisho Otome, Selection Project, and the Hike story, I think is easily my top five for the new shows anyways.
My list is going to be Komi, Can't Communicate, Banished from the Hero's Party, Senpai is Annoying, Taisho Maiden Fairy Tale, and King's Ranking.
So we're both on the Fairy Tale. See, I knew that when I put the outline together, I think that we were both going to be pretty positive on the Taisho Otome Fairy Tale. But, like I said,
yeah,
that's the other thing. Like, the Deep and Sandy Lost Child,
there's not enough there for a real choice on that one, honestly. And we kind of
mentioned
that.
That's what I said. I want that obscurity because I think this is going to be one of those ones that's going to be really kind of based on what is discovered, and you kind of don't want to know that coming into it. But I think that could possibly be a gem of the season if that does turn out to be very interesting.
And I'm still stuck on Hike story. I think that could be if I can get past the artwork, which there's nothing, because we don't have a PV, so it's not like we know that it's going. Do we? I thought you said it didn't.
We have a heat because we watched it on the podcast. That's why I didn't put it on here, because we watched it already.
Oh.
Which, again, has a little bit better style and look to it than most of Silent Sour stuff. But for returning shows, obviously, Mushoku Tensei, Demon Slayer, Yuki Inna is a Hero, 86. I am super hyped for all four of those. So, but like I said, we try to do new shows. Otherwise, our thing will be full of returning shows. So, but no, I think... I can't call it a hidden gem, but I think obviously Hike story is probably going to be the one that really kind of... I don't think it will be the most popular show because it doesn't really have storytelling there that the majority of anime viewers go after. This is one of those ones where I think that all of the, people looking for something different and something that's willing to tell something very interesting, I think are going to be really caught up on this. This will probably be the one, if it turns out to be good, will be the one that a lot of people, including myself, will be barking about, that people need to go watch.
Yeah, I remember it a lot more now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's going to be rough, because I kind of really want to put it on my list now. Dadgummit.
Oh, you didn't put it on your list? Mm-hmm. Bad, Chris.
I chose King Raid.
King Raid. Yeah, I'll probably take ranking off there. No, anyways. I don't know. I think I have a feeling that, like I said, Hikke's Story is going to be the one that a lot of people are really kind of barking about, that people need to watch, that they're probably not going to be watching. I feel like Selection Project could be the one that I'm going to be barking and nobody's going to be listening. Because I'll probably be like, I have a feeling that's going to be my super cub of the season. But we'll see. I'm glad that I now have a section of my mentality that is, which show will be my super cub? The show that's like most people will not look at because it has a certain kind of aesthetic to it, but I'm like shouting about watching it.
I dropped Banished.
Banished?
Yeah, Banished from the Hero Story.
I think Banished will be fine, but nothing there is telling me it's going to be like standout-ish. So we'll see. Obviously, Platinum End does have my interest based on the pedigree behind it, so don't get me wrong. Maruko-chan definitely also has a lot of my interest. I'm curious to see what kind of crap storm is going to come out of World End being on Crunchyroll. I'm sure it will be probably dropped mid-season. There's the question. What do you think the probability that World's End Harem will be either overly censored to the point where the story is not even there, or the context is not even there anymore? Or do you think it's going to be a thing where will Crunchyroll drop World's End Harem within a couple episodes?
Depends on how much.
Because they are now technically officially a part of Sony.
Yeah.
At least Funimation did shut down Interspecies Reviewers. And this looks like it has a lot more blatant content in it than Interspecies Reviewers.
It'll really depend on how much autonomy they have for now. I mean,
none.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Is I don't trust them, no matter how you look at it. I'm hoping that this was probably just one of those that was a leftover contract from before.
Yeah, that's
It's they would sooner or later they're going to start not doing these kinds of shows.
You're absolutely correct. This would fit in the time frame of something that would be just prior to that going through. So because they probably knew about this adaptation probably sometime late last year. So yeah, interesting stuff. I'm excited. I'm really curious how Faraway Paladin ended up turning out, because that one definitely looks like it could be an interesting take on the fantasy world. But a lot of very interesting stuff. Like I said, very heavy on mecha, which we've kind of stepped away from mecha for quite a while now. So to have a season with like what technically five or so mechas, technically some of those are bodysuit type mecha stuff, but a lot of vampire shows coming out this season, which we technically had a lot of vampires last season as well, but a lot of originals, a lot of co-pros between studios, a lot of very interesting stuff to come up, and I'm definitely excited for it. So that's it. That's the fall 2021 anime season. Let's get this stopped recording, get it edited, and then we will have five new shows announced for the season, and three of the shows will fall off of the season.
Yep.
That's how it always happens. It's always literally the next day, bam.
I'm kind of holding out hope that a show that I'm super excited about gets secretly changed up to this season, but right now it's still on the to-be-announced list, so.
Ain't happening, Chris. Ain't happening. So yeah, that's the fall 2021 anime season preview. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, definitely let us know. Send us a tweet. Let us know. Tell other people about this episode. Subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody who supports us. Definitely appreciate those that support us on Patreon. It definitely means a lot to us. But like I said, also you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Support us there. We're trying to do regular live streams on there. I'm certain Chris probably maybe will be doing a stream today. I don't know.
Thinking about it.
You won't know because he'll probably have already streamed by the time you get this episode, but I don't know why I'm asking him now to announce it. But yeah, I'm trying to get at least a daily podcast video. So it's, or not podcast video, live stream going on. It's been a lot of fun kind of communicating with people on the live stream, but yeah, definitely seek us out there. It's Otaku Spirit on YouTube. Do a youtube.com/Otaku Spirit because there is another Otaku Spirit on there. Just look for our Spirit-chan, our cute little mascot girl on there. And that's when you know it's that that's the one that's us. But we thank you guys for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed. And y'all take care.
Os.